Scripture reading this morning comes from Joshua chapter 3. Hope you can find that in your Bible or your Bible app. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe of man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. May God bless the reading of His Word. You know, we've come to the place here in the book of Joshua where God is moving His people from the east side of the Jordan to the west side. And we've come to the place where God is moving the people forward with Him to accomplish this mission that He's given them. And as I'm reading through this account, I notice there are three steps that the people of God needed to take in order to move forward with God on this mission. The three steps that Joshua and the people took several years ago are the same steps that we need to take as well if we want to move forward with God in the mission that God has given us today. The first step that they took is to understand your calling. You know, when I say calling, some of you wrongly make that term apply to some special group of Christians, you know, the super spiritual Christians. And so you may hear of a pastor talk about his calling to preach, or a missionary talking about their calling to go to this specific place, this specific mission field. And you may believe that this idea of calling only refers to those super spiritual people in those specific types of vocations, right? Well, I don't believe that. And I don't believe that only pastors and missionaries receive a calling. You see, your calling is what God wants you to do. That's your calling. And so based on that, if you have a relationship with God through Christ, then you have a calling. God is calling you to do something. And that calling is going to show itself in a variety of roles and responsibilities, but you have a call. We all have a calling. God is calling us to participate in this mission that He's given us. And in Joshua 3, we see at least three different callings that all participate in the same mission. The first one we see applies to Joshua. You know, God called Joshua to be a unique leader among His people. I mean, there wasn't another individual in all of Israel in that day that had the same calling as Joshua. I mean, Joshua's calling was very unique. He was the leader. And here's just a little helpful interpretive hint in the book of Joshua and even the Old Testament. Anytime you read of a prophet, priest, or king in the Old Testament, what you need to realize is the prophet, the priest, the king, or the leader, all these people are forerunners of Jesus Christ. All of these roles collapse and are fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And so when you read about Joshua in the book of Joshua, you need to be thinking about how did Christ ultimately fulfill this great role of leader, of king? Joshua is just a forerunner of Christ. Oftentimes we want to try to make our calling the same as Joshua's calling, but we're not called to do the same things Joshua was called to do, right? But in Christ we all have a calling. For Joshua in this day, his calling was very unique, that he was to lead God's people to accomplish this mission that God had given them. But we also see the priests. The priests had a specific calling. God called them in this passage to carry the Ark of the Covenant into the river, actually. And this was the priest's calling. This is what God wanted them to do at this point. We also see the people of Israel. You know, God told the people of Israel, I want you to follow Joshua, and I want you to follow the priest in a certain way. This was their calling. This is what God was telling them to do. But each of these callings flowed out of their God-given identity and responsibility. You know, whether you are a Joshua or a priest or a soldier, your calling was designed based on who you are in your relationship with God and your responsibility that God had given you, your role. So God was the one who appointed Joshua as the leader. He's the one who appointed the priesthood, and He's the one who brought these people into a covenant relationship with Himself. And so their responsibilities flowed out of their identity, who they are in relation to God. And so now consider this. You know, your calling, like I said earlier, is not the same as Joshua's calling. You know, God was calling Joshua to accomplish certain things that He's not calling you and me to do, right? However, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a calling. God is calling you to participate in His mission. If you have faith in Christ, then the Bible calls you a child of God. The Bible calls you an ambassador for Christ. The Bible calls you a royal priest. And the Bible tells us that we should be disciple makers. Right? This is who we are in Christ. A royal priesthood. Ambassadors. We're children of God. And we have this responsibility to make disciples of all nations. And this is true of every Christian. This is who you are. This is your identity. This is what God is calling you to do. And even in the midst of that, uniquely, God is calling you to flesh this out in specific roles and responsibilities. For example, if you're a husband, I mean, God is calling you to be who He's designed you to be and to fulfill your calling in that role as a husband, to be the husband God wants you to be. Or if you're a wife or a spouse, you know, God is calling you to fulfill this role in light of your calling. Or a son or daughter, or a grandparent, or an employer, or an employee, a teacher. Whatever your role is, whatever responsibility you've been given, whatever role God has placed you in, you are to fulfill your calling within these roles. Carry out your calling. Just like Joshua had his calling as a member of the people of God, but he was also this leader. The priests were among the people of God, but they had this specific role and responsibility. The soldiers, everybody had a role that was given to them. And we all have roles within the body of Christ that God wants us to work through us and fulfill our calling in these roles. So whether it's a husband, a wife, a son or daughter, a brother or sister, a grandparent, a teacher, a neighbor, you know, you should be thinking about how can I fulfill God's call on my life through these roles that God has given me. wherever you are right now, we know we're children of God. We're a royal priesthood. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we should be disciple makers. How am I doing that in the context of these relationships and responsibilities that God has given to me? And so your calling, what God wants you to do, is tied to your identity and the roles and responsibilities that God has given you. And even though the people of God that we're reading about in Joshua lived several thousand years ago, we can relate to them, right? We can relate to them. You know, one of the most miraculous events in all of Scripture, in all of redemptive history, is when God delivered his people out of Egypt from slavery into this journey towards the promised land. This was one of the most miraculous events because God brought his people out of slavery, and then he did this miraculous event by parting the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground as the Egyptian army was coming to enslave them once again. He delivered them out of slavery. And we read that and we can relate to that because that type of deliverance was a type of salvation for them. And so we look back at that and we think, you know, I wasn't enslaved in Egypt, but I was enslaved to sin. And God brought the greater Moses, Jesus Christ, to bring me out of sin because of what Christ has done for me. And I have been freed to be who God wants me to be now because of what Christ has accomplished, my great deliverer. He has delivered me from slavery and sin, and he has given me freedom to be who God wants me to be. He's brought me into this place where I can worship God and relate to God, giving me this personal relationship with God. And so we're placed in a right relationship with God because of what Christ has done for you and for me, right? That's why we are able to relate to God in a personal way. That's what places us in the family of God. It's solely what Christ has done. I mean, that's the only way that the people were able to escape Egypt into the wilderness is because God parted the Red Sea. And the only reason we were able to escape from the slavery of sin is because God dealt a death blow to sin through the cross of Christ. And so you need to realize the only way that you're made right with God is through Christ. Okay? And so when we look back at the Old Testament people of God, we see God's grace at work in their lives to deliver them. And we can relate to that because by God's grace, we have been delivered as well. And we must understand that foundational truth if we're going to move forward with God. That we are brought into a relationship with God by grace. And so were the people in the Old Testament. And so when we read about the people crossing the Red Sea, we can identify with their deliverance. But then we know once they went through the Red Sea, they entered this wilderness on the way to the promised land, right? But then we know what happened. They became bitter and they were disobedient and they began to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And they never were able to experience the fullness of what God had for them because of their bitterness and disobedience. And so they kept wandering, going around and around in the wilderness until they come to this place where Joshua takes the reins and he brings them to the bank of the Jordan, where they have this opportunity to again move forward with God. And you know, you and I, we've been called, like I said earlier, to be ambassadors for Christ. And we are royal priests. We have a mission to take the gospel to the people in our city and around the world. And that's carried out in a variety of roles. And we all have a variety of roles, even in this room. But I wonder, you know, how many of us have been delivered from the slavery of sin by Christ, but we find ourselves just wandering around, never realizing fully what God wants to do in and through us. We've come to Christ, we've placed our faith in Christ, but we're just kind of wandering around, not making progress in our relationship with God because of bitterness, resentment, disobedience, and we're just wandering. And we're looking at the people in the Old Testament, we think, man, I can relate to that. I'm just wandering around, and I'm not moving forward with God. I'm not growing. And we see these people kept going around in circles. But by God's grace, he brings them now to this point again. He says, okay, let's move forward. He brings Joshua, the priest, the people. He brings them to the bank of the Jordan and says, will you move forward now? He wants them to move forward with God. And he does the same with us. He keeps bringing us back to this place of opportunity. Even in our wandering, and even in our sin and disobedience, He keeps coming back by His grace to move us forward, to say, will you move forward with me? And that's the question I want you to consider, wherever you are with the Lord this morning. You know, will you move forward with God? He wants you to move forward with Him. Just like we read earlier in James, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. He's not done with you. He has things for you to do and participate in, and things that He wants to do in your life. But will you be willing to do something different? Will you be willing to cross the Jordan and encounter an unknown place? Will you be willing to seek out the fullness of what God has for you and wants to do through you? You have been called by God as children, as priests, as ambassadors, as disciple makers. This is who you are. And God wants you to fulfill that calling. But we need to take the second step like the people did in the book of Joshua chapter 3. The second step the people took in order to move forward with God is that they consecrated themselves. Look at verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So Joshua's telling the people, you know, God wants to do wonders among them, but first they need to consecrate themselves. And we read about the people earlier in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, the people consecrating themselves in preparation to receive the law of God. And then later in the book of Joshua, we're going to read this again, where the people consecrate themselves because there's sin in the camp. And so to consecrate means to wash, to dedicate, to set apart, to prepare. And so the idea here is that He wants His people to move forward with Him, but they need to prepare. They need to be prepared. They need to be washed. They need to be dedicated. They need to be set apart for the mission. And this same thing is true for us. If we want to move forward with God and fulfill the calling that God has on our lives, then we must be willing to be washed. We need to consecrate ourselves. We need to be honest about where we are with Him. We need to confess our sin to Him, and God tells us that He will forgive us and cleanse us. He'll move us forward with Himself in the mission. If we're willing to be washed, He promises us to draw near to us. And we need to be dedicated. We need to be set apart for His mission and take our calling seriously. Because here's the thing, you know, there are several things you all can be involved in, I can be involved in, and we can fill up our time with so many different things. But if we want to move forward with God, then we need to consider our calling. What does God want us to do? And we need to align our time and our resources to what He's calling us to do. There are several ways you can divide your time, but we need to think about our calling. What is God calling me to do? What roles has He given me to fulfill? What responsibilities has He given me to carry out? And I need to align all the resources He's given me, the talents and the time, to accomplishing God's calling in my life. And so the question is, are you willing to do that? I mean, are you willing to set apart the things that you have, the time, the treasure, the talents, and funnel them toward fulfillment of God's calling in your life? You know, for Joshua and the people of God at this time is to cross the Jordan. He wants you to cross the Jordan and begin to take this land that He's promised the people. And so they consecrated themselves. But for you, it may be that God wants you to give more time and energy to being the parent that God wants you to be, or to be the spouse that God wants you to be, or the neighbor, or the disciple maker, or the teacher, or the evangelist, or the employer, or the employees. Whatever role He's given you, God wants you to fulfill that role based on your calling, who you are in Christ. Maybe God wants you to take a step of faith and even share the gospel with someone this week. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to take that step off the bank of the river into the riverbed and trust Him? And maybe He wants you to be involved in some specific ministry of the church. Or maybe He wants you to follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe you've never been baptized before. Maybe you've never placed your faith in Christ before. Or maybe He wants you to join this church family. Whatever it may be, what is God calling you to do? What's the next step in the fulfillment of that calling? But as we prepare to make that move, take that step, we need to consecrate ourselves. God, would you wash me clean? Prepare me so I'm ready to move forward with you. And that's what we see in the third step. The third step they took in Joshua chapter 3 to move forward with God is they crossed the Jordan. And I love that quote that's in your bulletin. I put three quotes in there by Martin Luther King Jr. to reflect on this weekend. And I love that first quote. It ties in well with what we're talking about here in Joshua 3. It says, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And that's what was going on in Joshua 3. You know, God didn't lay out his whole plan step by step to them. But he's calling them to take the step. And he lays it out. Here's what I want you to do. The priest, I want you priests to take the Ark of the Covenant and go step in the river. And then once you do that, people, I want you to follow the Ark. And let's see what happens. You know, they were to take steps of faith. And in verse 4 we read, for you have not passed this way before. You know, I love that. You know, God says, you haven't done this before. This hasn't happened to you before. This is going to take faith. You're moving into unknown territory. This may be a new experience for you, a new area, but you are to take a step of faith. You're to cross the Jordan. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. And so if you're in Christ, God has something for you to do. He wants you to move forward with him, but you have to be willing to take a step of faith. You have to be willing to step off the bank into the river and trust the Lord. Whatever that may look like in your own calling. You know, two of the most significant characteristics of the Ark of the Covenant is that it contained the written word of God. And it was a representation of the presence of God among the people. And the people were told, follow the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was to go out first, and then you are to follow it. And I think, you know, isn't that true of us as well? You know, God's word will show us the way to fulfill our calling. We just need to follow it. We need to follow the word of God. But we must be willing to follow. I mean, are we willing to take the steps needed to realize the fullness of what God has for us and wants to do through us? You know, we need to be willing to, you know, cross the Jordan, so to speak, even though we've never gone that way before. You know, I believe God's calling us into some unique experiences this year, that maybe to do some things we've never done. And that's how we're going to have our faith stretched. That's how we're going to see God do some great things among us, is by stepping out into some new areas, some new experiences, some new opportunities, and just see what God does. You know, God told Joshua and the people that as they step out in faith to carry out his mission. If you notice, this was a major theme in this chapter. He says, okay, here's what's going to happen as you all do this. God says, I'm going to show the people, one, that I'm with Joshua, he says. I want to show the people that I'm with Joshua just like I was with Moses, what he tells Joshua. And then he also tells the people that I'm going to be among you. So God is going to work in such a way to assure them of his presence among them. And God gives us the same promise through Jesus Christ. You know, if you're in Christ, you have a calling that will be fulfilled in many different roles. And if we want to move forward with God, then we need to consecrate ourselves. And we need to be willing to take that step of faith and step off the bank into the riverbed. So I want you to think about, even this morning, even today, in this week, you know, what is God's calling on your life? I've already shared with you these truths about you and God, in Christ, in your relationship with God. But each of you has specific roles, specific people that are in your life. You know, specific sphere of influences. You know, what is God's calling in your life? What does God want you to do? And are you willing to do it? Are you willing to consecrate yourselves? Are you willing to, you know, take that first step in a new direction? And so as we close in prayer, I wonder, you know, will you say to God, I'm willing to move forward. Yeah, I'm willing to move forward with you. Will you say, you know, that you're ready to be the spouse that God wants you to be? I'm willing to be the parent, the son, the daughter, the grandparent, the worker, the neighbor, the disciple maker. I'm willing to be the person you're calling me to be. And as we pray, my hope is that, you know, we'll consecrate ourselves. We'll ask God, you know, would you cleanse me? Would you prepare me? Strengthen me so that I may take that step of faith, step off the bank, step into the riverbed, and move forward with you. Will you pray that as we close? Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we look at this miraculous story about how you guided this people across the Jordan River on dry ground. It is a miraculous event. And we see this beautiful dance and how it was accomplished and how you called these people to yourselves. You gave them different roles and responsibilities, and then you brought them all together across the river because of your power. And Lord, even this morning, we know you've called us to be your representatives. You've called us to be royal priests. You've called us to be ambassadors. You've called us to make disciples of all nations. You called us to love you and love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, you've called us to be these people. And you've given us different roles and responsibilities and gifts. Well, we pray that you would help us fulfill the calling you've put on our lives. Lord, help us to be the people you want us to be. Strengthen us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, so that we can take the steps that are needed to be taken in order to move forward with you and to realize the fullness of what you want to do in our lives and through our lives for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.